55, inbound flight. C.O. Dawson was on site when the prison barge Purge docked outside the Hive's loading bay. But he didn't actually see the action. Not all of it, anyway. Later on, he would testify before a Galactic Board of Inquiry that the only reason he'd survived was that he hadn't stuck around to watch it all go down. That wasn't quite the truth, but it was close enough. And by that time, there wasn't anybody else left to contradict him. He was on deck with a dozen other guards and the prison's loading and landing crew as the Purge settled creakingly into its docking berth just outside the space station. Like most of the freighters and transport ships that arrived here, the barge was far too big to land inside the hangar, so that docking became a ritualized mating ceremony of pressurized coupling adapters and a long extendable gangway whose port extended down into the cargo hold itself. When the port finally opened, Dawson and the other guards straightened up, each of them gripping go sticks and stun pikes, awaiting the signal from Doyle, the chief gantry officer on duty, that typically indicated the offloading of new prisoners and supplies. Standard loading and unloading protocol was that the Purge's own guards would step off first, with inmates to follow. Dawson and the others stood staring expectantly at the open port. But the port remained empty. Come on. After a moment, Dawson glanced at the guard next to him in annoyance. What's this about? He muttered. I was supposed to be off shift 20 minutes ago. Now we gotta stay here waiting for... He broke off mid-sentence. Two nervous-looking guards had just stepped out of the port, each of them struggling to hold up one end of an ungainly, heavy-looking shipping crate. They were followed by four more guards, escorting a group of nine prisoners. At least they were wearing prison uniforms, although C.O. Dawson thought these creatures were even more imposing than what he was used to. Trandoshans, Gamorreans, Gran. Species that he'd tangled with before, certainly, but never altogether like this. And then he realized why they looked so dangerous. They were all smiling. Grinning, actually. Scrummy-looking buggers, aren't they? Dawson growled, tightening his grip on his static pike, already thumbing the power button and wishing they'd been armed with blasters. He didn't like the feel of things, and was already aware of an unpleasant tension gathering in his lungs, making him feel as though his uniform was buttoned too tightly across his chest and throat. Lately, there had been a paranoid air of skullduggery inside the prison itself. Rumors that the Huts or other crime syndicates had been sending their own people in as inmates or even guards to undermine operations here. Dawson didn't believe it, but the possibility still made him uneasy. He glanced back at the other guard, Greer.
Let's knock some of the snark off their faces, shall we?
The matches will do that soon enough, Greer murmured back. But I'm not sure I'm willing to wait that long.
Me either.
They stepped forward, pikes at the ready. The guards carrying the shipping crate had stopped 10 meters in front of them and put it down with a noticeable expression of relief. Eyeing the inmates, Dawson and the others came forward to receive them. Gentlemen, welcome. Siddiqui Blur spoke up from behind them, and Dawson glanced back over his shoulder to see the warden standing there along with her droid. Dawson took his hand off the butt of his static pike and forced himself to calm down. It was highly unorthodox for management to come down personally to supervise the offloading of new inmates, and he wondered if there was something special about this entire operation after all. Warden Blur eyed the inmates and the guards who escorted them. Where's your captain?
Still aboard the vessel.
Captain Styrene usually comes down to greet me himself, she said, and turned to the new inmates. How many are there?
Just these nine.
Only nine? Siddiqui glanced at the droid for verification. We were supposed to receive 32 inmates.
Just nine,
the guard answered back stiffly. And Dawson noticed the man's eyes flicking anxiously back toward the docking module, as if he couldn't wait to get back aboard, or anywhere for that matter, as long as it wasn't here. Frowning, Siddiqui approached the shipping crate. What about the freight? Is this all of it?
Everything on our manifest.
I highly doubt that.
See for yourself.
Thank you, Siddiqui said. I will. As she walked over to inspect the crate, Dawson saw the whole thing shift slightly to the right. Whatever was in there was large enough to make the entire crate move. He was already opening his mouth to shout out a warning when the lid burst open.
Warden!
Dawson started, but that was all he had time for. The Trandoshan who'd been hiding inside the crate had a Westar M5 blaster rifle in both hands. By the time Warden Blur dropped to the floor, her reflexes, Dawson realized, had just saved her life. The Shan was already firing point-blank into the group of guards directly in front of him. Blaster bolts streaked flickering ribbons of death into the unsuspecting front line of Coghive 7 COs, and everything around him started happening with dreamlike clarity. Dawson saw Greer, the guard 2 meters away from him, go ragdolling backward across the floor of the hangar with a sizzling hole in his chest, leaving nothing more behind him than a stinking cloud of burned flesh and fabric. Blinking, Dawson recoiled and hit the floor. He could hear the warden's administrative droid clucking out panicked noises in the distance. Somewhere off to his right, Warden Blur herself had disappeared completely from sight. Hit or not, he couldn't tell, nor at this moment did he particularly care. The thought that kept circling through his mind, "This can't be happening, whatever it is. I was supposed to be off the clock 20 fracking minutes ago," did nothing to help him get a grip on himself. In front of him and all around, things were happening almost too quickly to track. The two guards who had carried the crate out of the purge were running, actually flat out sprinting, back up the gangway for cover, while the prisoners they brought down had already thrown off their manacles and leg restraints, which Dawson realized, with a dawning sense of horror, had never been fastened to begin with. Cold sweat broke out over his forehead, making his scalp feel too tight for his skull. The whole thing had been a setup, and they'd walked right into it. Grinning wider than ever, the prisoners charged forward. The Trandoshan inside the crate was pulling out blasters, rifles, and sidearms and tossing them out to his confederates, who seized them eagerly and joined in the one-sided firefight. Dawson turned to flee. The hangar around him was already full of smoke and the sheared metal stench of spent blaster rounds. The remaining guards and loading personnel were taking cover on both sides of him, but the hangar had been cleared to accommodate the incoming prisoners and supplies, and there was nothing to hide behind. He thought if he could get to the turbo lift, he might stand a chance of... An explosion from inside the purge's berthing port jerked his head around, and he looked back just in time to see the bodies of the two guards who'd just run in come flying back out, their corpses sprawling limply across the floor of the hangar. There was something coming out of the smoke. Something big. Staring, Dawson realized that he was looking at some kind of giant floating holovid projector hauled forward by a pair of Kel dragons, grayish-black quadrupedal lizards, straining frenziedly at their leashes. The image on the holovid was a bloated, leering figure that he recognized only from second-hand footage and word of mouth, though he knew immediately who it was. Jabba the Hutt. All at once, Dawson knew the rumors were true. But at that point, of course, it was entirely too late.